This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauley and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We do welcome you in on a Friday night. We have reached the end of the week, and here we go on a Sports Open Line. We got a lot to get to between now and 8 o'clock. There's a lot going on. We're monitoring a Cardinals game that is taking place. We're monitoring a Missouri basketball game that's taking place and an Illinois basketball game. Unfortunately for SLU, their season came to an end earlier. Well, we'll see. I haven't heard if there's any official word on whether or not they would entertain some type of postseason bid. Obviously not NCAA tournament, unlikely NIT, but if they would take one of those other postseason tournaments, if they got the opportunity, I don't know what their answer would be, but at least for the time being, their season has come to an end as they lost to Loyola Chicago today by a 72-64 score. Kyle Sixt is here. Kyle Sixt up. We're monitoring the Cardinals game. Have you been watching it all to see what's going on? Do you know anything about this game?
I saw Juan Soto hit a homer.
Okay, that's fine. The Cardinals got a home run.
Yeah?
Yeah, the Cardinals got a home run. And I'll tell you that it was a player hit his first home run of the spring for the Cardinals.
Okay.
How many guesses do you think it would take you? So it's a player who's in the starting lineup today. How many guesses do you think it would take you to get to who hit the home run today for the Cardinals?
Oh, boy. That makes me think it's the most random player I've never heard.
That would be a safe assumption.
Okay. Not a top prospect, I'm guessing. Not a player that's going to be on the roster, obviously. I'll throw out 40 names.
You might not even get
it. I'm not getting
it
in 40.
You might not get it in 40.
Who went deep?
Yoel Pozo.
Yeah, I wasn't getting there.
Yoel Pozo, who is been in spring training previously with the Rangers every year from 2016 to 2022, with the A's the last 2 years, and now with the Cardinals. He is starting. Do you know his position? Do you know, Yoel? I'm just putting you on the spot. Now, to be fair, I was in camp for a month, and my job is Cardinals pregame and postgame host. And about 3 minutes ago, if you would have asked me, do you know what position Yoel Pozo plays? I'm not sure if I would have known the answer. So I'll admit that freely. Are you familiar with the artistic stylings of one Yoel Pozo?
I have not had the honor of learning about Mr. Pozo, but
he's a catcher.
Really? I was going to throw out outfielder.
Okay, no, he's a catcher. He's a catcher. He is batting ninth. He's 1-for-2 today with a home run.
Nice.
So good for Mr. Pozo. This is his second career spring training home run, and he played 21 games in the big leagues with Texas in 2021, where he hit one home run. So he's got a little bit of big league time.
All right, yeah, he's got a big fly in the major leagues.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. So that was it's all coming back to me now. He was the kind of the veteran guy who was brought in to basically be the backup catcher in Memphis for the upcoming season. So now that I see his name and I see what he's doing and I see his background, it's starting to come back to me from when I saw that very obscure transaction not that long ago, probably in January. But yeah, there you go, Yoel Pozo. And the irony of all of this is the Cardinals are a struggling unit right now from an offensive standpoint. A lot of people are talking about that. Coming into the game today, I believe their team batting average was back below 200. It's back above 200 with the 7 hits that they have collected today in 4 innings, but it was below 200. So the fact that they do get a home run from a guy who has no chance of making the big league club this year, there's just a little bit of irony in that. We'll talk a fair amount of Cardinals baseball throughout the show today, I should say. We'll also talk some City SC soccer. They are coming off a fantastic performance and a really good win against the LA Galaxy on Sunday Night Soccer this past week. They are back at home coming up tomorrow evening. They're going to play host to Seattle, and we're going to talk through all things City SC soccer coming up in just a moment or so. Ross Smith from Apple TV is going to join us, part of the MLS season pass. He's part of that team there in MLS season pass. He joins us in just a moment. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the ION College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the ION College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Continuing to take you through, we're with you till 8 o'clock this evening. City SC Soccer coming off their best performance and certainly their best result of the year when they knock off the LA Galaxy on Sunday Night Soccer by a 3-0 score. They are going to play host to Seattle over at Energizer Park coming up tomorrow evening. On the call for that match for Apple TV and MLS Season Pass is going to be Ross Smith. You can find him on Twitter at RossSmith_20, and he joins us right now. Ross, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I always love it when it's St. Louis in St. Louis. It's a fixture we're always after as broadcasters.
Are you here right now? Are you dealing with the wind and the crazy weather and everything that's taking place?
I am. I've found shelter in the gym to try and burn off the fried raviolis I'm going to take off today. So I've just stepped off the treadmill to have a chat with you real quick.
Okay. Well, we won't keep you too terribly long for that. But look, City's coming off that performance, and that was a really interesting game, Ross, when they win 3-0 against LA Galaxy, because Berkey makes two fantastic saves where they could have easily found themselves down one or two goals in the early going, and who knows what happens after that, but Berkey makes two saves, and then all of a sudden, the goals start coming for City.
Yeah, Berkey was sensational, wasn't he? That one with his left hand tipped onto the post. I know on the broadcast with Jake Sivan and Taylor Twelman, they went back to look at it again from the net cam, and that was superb. He was sensational. I have to say, Henry Kessler, for me, has been outstanding as well. And so while you needed Berkey to be able to keep the clean sheet, I think Henry Kessler played a big part in it as well. So, you know, sensational, especially when you go away from home, you need that platform. You need to rely on your backstop, your defenders to deal with what would be an onslaught of attack. And then that gives you that platform to go and win the game. And that's exactly what the attackers for St. Louis showed, the quality at the right moments.
Yeah, it's incredible. And this is not just a soccer thing. This is true in any sport. Sometimes you just need something to kind of go your way, and then all of a sudden you get going. And I know, you know, City hadn't scored a goal in their first two matchups. That game against Colorado, they had a ton of opportunities, and they just couldn't put it in the back of the net. And then this kind of the slow start against LA. But once something finally went their way, that opened things up. Can that momentum, or that whatever that thing is, can that continue from one week to the next, where they maybe have something kind of figured out here?
Yeah, you know what I think it does? A massive part of the psychology of it for a defender. When you're holding on, and when you haven't scored for two games, and the third game away at LA Galaxy, you're holding on, and you're wondering, are we ever going to have a breakthrough? And when you see that come, that re-energizes you, and you think, oh, I'll go again. Now I know for future games that can batten down the hatches, because our attackers will go and get us a goal. And you believe more and more than what your manager has to say. It's amazing. If that was 0-0, or if LA Galaxy went and won 1-0, 2-0, all of a sudden you're looking at that three-game stretch in a different way. Now you're looking at it saying, of course you want 9 points, but to be undefeated, haven't conceded a goal, you're looking at that as a pretty great start for a new manager in terms of players wanting to believe in his system. And now you're coming home against the Seattle Sounders team that have really been kicked in the teeth this week. So, you know, there's a lot going for St. Louis all of a sudden.
You said re-energize. They play at Energizer Park. I'm just saying that might be part of your pregame show or something, being able to bring those two things together. Just throwing that at you. Yeah, there you go.
I like the Apple TV would be happy with me if I bring that in.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all working together here. So that's all that matters, I guess. So, like, how good, because anything in a small sample size, you really don't know like how sustainable it is. But this team has not yet given up a goal. From a defensive standpoint, how good do you think City SC actually is?
It's amazing, because it's so different. And we talked about the defending side against the ball under Bradley Carnell, and how it almost took the Red Bulls, the Energizer drink, throw that in again. Again, that style into it to another level. And everybody was giving huge compliments to Bradley Carnell and what he was doing. So then it was defending in order to attack. Now, for me, what Olaf Melberg has done, and, you know, one of the great center backs, I remember watching him in his prime and thinking, wow, I was a center back myself thinking, that is who I want to model my game after, just that old school approach to the match. What he's done now, instead of defending to attack, he's defending to defend. So let's just do that. Let's defend what the game is giving us and what we force it to. And then when we attack, that's a different story. We're going to attack in a different way. So, you know, he's not afraid. We haven't seen a lot of high press. We'll see a medium block. But he's not afraid to defend low as well. And if they win the ball back in deep areas and then have to worry about working the ball up the pitch, you know, that's the next layer that he's working on now. But he's not afraid to do that, because the guys have shown, you know, that they can withstand just bunkering down on the edge of their box. I think that's huge, to be able to have that confidence. But now, as Olaf Melberg goes up on the training ground today, now it's that next layer. Now can they start to bring in more of that consistent quality, getting on the ball, possession, higher numbers. But I think that will come. The fact that he's got this base as a new manager is terrific.
Okay, so if you're defending to defend and not really trying to defend to attack, you got to have a lot of confidence in what you do offensively, because it has to almost play off itself and not off what you're doing defensively.
Absolutely. And I think the key piece to that is Marcel Hartl. I think his connection to the midfield, and when he drops down and he, you know, whether it's Durkin beside him and Leuven, if he's dropping in between those two, but then his connection, I mean, we saw that was fantastic goal, the way he linked up play as well with Tuchard and Klaus and then Becher. He's the key for me. So, you know, when you're defending like that, to be able to connect with him, you know, Klaus, I'm really interested to see him and Becher and what happens with those two in terms of competition, who's going to be that big target man. I think either one of them are capable of a 20-goal season. I think Becher is, he's sneaky smart, just how he goes about his play. And Klaus is more that presence, that hold-up play you can play into. I just think Melberg, he's got different ways to attack with different strikers. So there's options as well when you talk about an attack that will improve.
We're talking with Ross Smith. He'll be the analyst on Apple TV and MLS Season Pass for City SC in Seattle coming up tomorrow night over at Energizer Park. Yeah, the basics for City SC haven't changed since the start because you've got Lutz Pfannenstiel in place, but we do see each of the three coaches that have already come through have put their own spin on it. They've tweaked some things. How challenging is it for an Olaf Melberg, who clearly and obviously has his own beliefs and the way he wants to do things, to be able to walk into a place where the overall system is still kind of dictated by Lutz, so all Olaf kind of needs to, I don't know if pick and choose is the right word, but you get what I'm saying. Being able to put his spin on things isn't the easiest thing to do, maybe.
Yeah, there's different backgrounds, obviously, to managers who walk through the door. What Olaf Melberg has coming in, he can turn around and he can talk about across in Europe getting double promotion when he was manager in Sweden. He can talk about his playing career and said, look what I've done as well. And I met with him. I sat with Olaf today, and I thought, he's the type of manager where his presence walks in the door 2 minutes before he does. And we were all waiting around, and the PR staff said, oh, he's going to be here in a few minutes. And right away, you start to, you know, your shoulders go back, you start to button up a little bit more. He's got that going for him because of his playing career, because of what he did with back-to-back promotions. So he's shown that he can do it. And when he walks into the room is how he carries himself. He's very deliberate with what he has to say. He doesn't waste words. So I think all that goes into, you imagine going into a group of 25, 30 guys in the locker room. They're going to pay attention. They would have watched him play for Aston Villa in the Premier League. They know what he's all about. So right away, that gets your attention and you believe in it. And I think that's different sometimes from a manager who hasn't had an extensive playing background. You know, the manager has to win you over on the training ground. Right now, he's already got them won over because of his playing career. But, you know, time will tell. You do have to get results, but it's bought him some time.
Ross, it's another year of the MLS on Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. Again, you guys are just doing an incredible job covering the sport, covering the league. For folks who have maybe not bought in on it quite yet, give a plug for what City SC fans can get when they're watching the games on Apple TV.
Consistent quality, I think, is what you're seeing. It's a uniform look with the sharpness of games. You know, I like to think I'm biased, but you know, the quality coming in as well, and I'm very fortunate to be part of the names that are coming in as analysts and then play-by-play talent. You know, from all over the world are coming in to cover the league and cover it extensively. We're in stadiums. You know, we're chatting to coaches. We're on the ground. So you know that I know. There's a nuance to the local talent, you know, but we're certainly trying to tap into that with being in stadium and calling the games.
He is Ross Smith. Again, he'll be the analyst coming up tomorrow as City SC matches up against Seattle. Follow him on Twitter at RossSmith_20. Ross, appreciate the time. Don't blow away with all this wind here in St. Louis, and I'm sure we'll talk again down the line.
That's great. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Thank you. That's Ross Smith joining us here on the program, MLS Season Pass, Apple TV. By the way, if you are like me, you are a huge fan of the show Ted Lasso, which is an Apple TV show. It became official today. Jason Sudeikis, the star of the show, the Ted Lasso, the actor who plays the Ted Lasso character, he was on a podcast. I can't remember off the top of my head whose podcast he was on, but he was on a podcast, and he did confirm that there is going to be a season 4 of Ted Lasso. Most people had thought that, and he said it many times, that they'd kind of told the story that they went in to tell through the first three seasons of it, but obviously a very popular show. You got some Apple money in there, you know, you get it figured out. So season four of Ted Lasso, they're going to start production on that pretty soon. So that's fantastic news for those of you. And I'm not like a huge soccer fan. I like talking about City. I love being able to have these guests on to talk. But I love the show Ted Lasso, and I'm sure many people who are listening love the show just as much. And now you can be happy to know there is going to be a season four. Our good friend Kevin Ryan's from Fox 2 and Channel 11. He's going to join us in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. We roll on with a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. You know, if you're freaking out about the weather, you can just kind of take a step back, listen into this music. Everything's okay. Everything's going to be okay. You're not going to blow away. Everything's going to be all right. Welcome back in. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line. In all seriousness, if anything does really break from a weather standpoint, we've got you taken care of. I am looking out into the streets of downtown St. Louis, and the flags there, they are moving around, and the leaves and everything, so it is definitely windy, and we'll see what happens, but we'll do our best to help keep you safe as we go along through the evening. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock tonight here on a Graybar Sports Open Line. Let's go back to the guest line. Very happy to welcome onto the program, he is our friend Kevin Ryans. He is a sports anchor and sports reporter for Fox 2 and also at Channel 11. You follow along with him on Twitter at @OfficialKevRy. Kevin, always great to talk to you. How are you?
Thank you guys for having me. I hope that you guys are safe and are going to be riding the storm as safely as possible. I'm hearing here in the newsroom that it should be a pretty bad one. So please, not to freak anyone out, but to just make sure everyone's alert and ready tonight, because it's not supposed to be the greatest of storms.
Are you on the sports desk tonight for the 10 o'clock news?
I am on the sports desk tonight. So
there is a possibility that your cast might be kicked out the door for severe weather coverage.
Yeah, it was already. We had to make time for the Big East tournament to air at starting at 5:30 tonight, and on top of which we had the severe weather coverage that was taken up by the weather department, the fantastic Fox 2 meteorologist that we have over here on staff. So. Already cut a little bit into that, and so I expect if it's really severe for them to kind of take hold and control of what's going on tonight. The most important thing is that people are safe, and so I hope that, you know, if you stay weather aware, have your radios ready, and if you're able to watch a TV, get in front of the TV and make sure that you are listening in at the very least to the local meteorologists from all stations, because they're all doing a wonderful job.
Well, on your station right now, a pretty good game, too. Marquette, St. John's in the Big East tournament. A couple top 25 yeah. teams there. I think Marquette's still in the top 25. If they're not, they're on the outside looking in just barely. But 37-35. Kevin, this is such a great time of year with all the conference tournaments going on, and it feels like every single night we just get amazing game after amazing game.
It's fantastic. I love watching all of the drama, especially the last few days. You had the game with Louisville the other day. Kentucky had a wild finish. And in the ACC tournament, there was a wild finish. California was in a close game. And, of course, all of the mid-major conferences as well had some tremendous finishes in their finals. So I love college basketball, and I love the conference tournament and then the NCAA tournament. It's probably the best tournament that we have in the sports scene in the United States, the best playoffs for sure. It's the most exciting and most riveting, and this is the time of year where teams are trying to make their cases and punch their tickets to the NCAA tournament, so they're giving it all, and those young players out there are really showing their mettle.
SLU had their run in the A-10 tournament come to an end today. I would think likely their season is over. We'll see whether or not there's any type of postseason opportunities for them that they would be willing to accept, but they're not going to the NCAA tournament, not likely to head to the NIT either. They lose today to Loyola Chicago, 72-64. Kevin, how do you evaluate their season? Because there was so much pomp and circumstance that went along with Coach Schertz coming in and the players he was bringing in and everything, and obviously it was a step forward and there's some really good moments for this team, but in many ways it feels like they did not reach the potential of what fans thought they might get to this year.
Yeah, a lot of that stems to, you know, they lost Larry Hughes, he left the team. They had a bunch of injuries, including to Robbie Avila during the middle of the year. And then, of course, they had a few of their regular starters or some of their big contributors be out with injuries as well. And so they weren't necessarily the most healthiest all year. And they played a lot of inconsistent basketball at the beginning of the season, but they really turned it on in A-10 play. And I would say from mid-December on, if you were to watch that team, you would see the potential there for there to be an NCAA tournament team in that, and for the building blocks to be kind of put together there over at St. Louis University. So if I look at it, I'm always been a little bit of a half glass full guy. You know, it's so tough to kind of revamp a program within one season, especially in a mid-major conference. You don't get the most funding. You don't get the best recruits. But yeah, at the very least, the core of that being Robbie Avila is a great centerpiece, and I thought that towards the end of the season, they really found their groove, even if some of their losses were pretty tough and kind of put them in a bad position once the conference tournament came.
We're talking with Kevin Ryans, Fox 2 and Channel 11, just keeping you up to date on what's going on with a couple of the other college basketball games of note, as both Illinois and Missouri are playing. Illinois, they've gone to halftime against Maryland, not going great. They're down 57-31. Missouri yes. Taking on Florida late in the first half, and they're down 33-24. So, Kevin, Illinois and Missouri's got some work to do if they want to extend their conference tournament runs.
Yeah, Illinois running into a Maryland team that they don't match up very well against, and they're having a really tough shooting evenings to start today. So their run might be coming to a close. Who knows? We'll see if they can maybe pick it up and rally in the second half. It'll be tough to come back from them. I kind of expected this. Illinois had a great game last night, but against a team that, you know, they can go up against in Iowa. You know, Maryland is just a different animal. They played, they haven't played them well in recent years. They don't match up well against them. And then when you're chucking up threes and they're not going in and there's no real, offensive game to them, it's just kind of like, let's see what happens if we shoot at high volumes. You're going to get games like this where you're trailing by 25. And then defensively, they just haven't been the same because of all the illnesses and injuries, people trying to get back into form right before the NCAA tournament. So Illinois is in a little bit of trouble. Missouri, they just made that run right before the last few minutes where they got within five of Florida at the team they beat earlier in January, the beginning of SEC play, so they can go toe-to-toe with a team like that. They have the scoring to be able to do it. Don't have Mark Mitchell tonight. That's a tough one for Mizzou because he provides scoring over in that interior for them. But if Mizzou can figure it out defensively, they definitely have the scores and they have the shooting to be able to keep them in that game. So we'll see how the rest of this first half goes and then that second half.
Let's talk a little baseball before we get you out of here. And I'm of the belief that spring training stats mean almost nothing. That being said, I have crossed into a line where I at least am a little bit open to being concerned about the Cardinals from an offensive standpoint. Where do you stand on all of that?
I'm with you on your former point where I want to see how they're doing within that first month of the season. I think, a couple of years ago when they were really below 500, only with the 8 wins in that first month, that's when you kind of knew that it wasn't going to be a good season. Same kind of deal last year. They were behind the 8 ball, made a couple of nice runs to make it respectable last year, get over 500, but you kind of knew what you were looking at in that first month of the season. For spring training, for me, I want to make sure, one thing,
whoever I'm going to bring up to the major leagues, they need to be healthy. That's why Jordan Walker right now is there. Take it easy with him after he got hurt. You know, bring him up, make sure he's ready to go for when he's ready to go. Make sure that they're healthy coming up. And then we'll see how everything looks over in that first month. You know, I definitely some concern with some of the major players not hitting very well. Some of the, you know, Sonny Gray not having a great start to pitching wise, as well as some of the other pitchers getting roughed up a little bit. But I, in terms of the guys who, you know, will make the major league squad, I really need to see how they perform in those first few weeks of the major league season to really get a gauge of how I really feel about this team.
Did you like the Phil Maton signing?
You know, it's kind of counterintuitive. I know they want to, you know, go young. And I know that it kind of blocked out a chance for Graceffo to potentially make the major league team as someone that could be in that bullpen. But it's a nice guy to have. You know, he had a really nice year for the Mets. Down the stretch for the Mets last year, he was pretty much lights out. And, of course, you know, New York went all the way to the National League Championship Series, were a couple of wins away from the World Series. So it's a very nice signing. If you think that you can compete in games, if you need someone as a bridge to get to Ryan Helsley, that's a guy that you want for sure.
Kevin Ryans is a sports anchor and sports reporter with both Fox 2 and Channel 11. Hopefully the severe weather just moves completely out of the area tonight, so he's got tons of time to talk on his sports cast tonight. Kevin, we always appreciate you taking some time with us, and I'm sure we'll catch up real soon. If nothing else, we'll see you at the ballpark here in the next couple weeks.
I'm looking forward to seeing you at the ballpark, and I know you have a special happy birthday for one of your youngest kids out there. I saw over on social media earlier today, so I want to send her a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. That's really nice of you to say. Thanks.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, of course. I'll see you at the ballpark for sure, Matt.
All right, very good. That's Kevin Ryans joining us. Yes, my oldest daughter, Sophia, today is her sixth birthday. So we were always predestined to return to St. Louis, where I grew up. Because she was born in Wisconsin, but she's a 314 baby because today's 314 day. So we were always predestined at somehow, some way to return to St. Louis. So yeah, went to Grant's Farm this morning, took her before I came into work. Grant's Farm, awesome. A lot of fun. So yeah, that's what's going on in the Pauly household. We'll take a break. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. Still a lot coming up in hour two, including our Friday baseball conversation with Kevin Wheeler. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Continuing on, we have a little bit more than an hour left in the program. In the 7 o'clock hour, at about 7:20 or so, we're going to be talking with Kevin Wheeler. We'll probably get him on a little bit before 7:20. So it's our Friday conversation where we talk all things Cardinals baseball, recapping the week that was. So we'll touch on the Phil Maton signing. I'll give you some thoughts on that as well coming up after the 7 o'clock news. Do want to remind you, you've probably heard us talk about it, but if you do not have access to it yet, I don't know what you are waiting for. It is the KMOX First Pitch Breakfast. It's happening on opening day. So this is opening day is already an amazing day. And if you're already planning on being going to the game and being downtown, maybe kegs and eggs is part of your opening day tradition. Well, you can extend out that day that much further. Because like let's say you're a kegs and eggs person. If you're a kegs and eggs person, that's an event that gets going at 11 o'clock in the morning. So the first pitch breakfast, that's before that. That's going to be at 8 a.m. And there's going to be a buffet that's open for 2 straight hours with incredible food. And it's going to be bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys and complimentary Budweiser draft beer, all kinds of stuff. So it's going to be incredible. And that's just the food and drink part. How about the content part of this whole thing? Vince Coleman, in a year where we are celebrating the anniversary of the 85 Cardinals, Cardinals Hall of Famer Vince Coleman, he is going to sit down with our own Tom Ackerman, and they are going to have an unfiltered conversation. So you get the Cardinals Nation breakfast menu from 8 to 10. You get a really cool kind of inside, behind closed doors type conversation with Vince Coleman. and you get to make opening day last that much longer because now your opening day festivities are going to begin at 8 o'clock in the morning. Generally, I'm not a morning person, but for that, that's a pretty amazing way to start the day. So just trying to help you out. Tickets are available. Tables are available. If you want to purchase any of those, all you do is head to KMOX.com/events. That's KMOX.com/events. And it's going to be a really, really cool day. By the way, every person who attends, in addition to everything I just mentioned, you're also going to get hooked up with a pair of tickets to see the Cardinals and the Twins play against each other on March 29th. So just a couple days later, other giveaways. It's again, all the details, you can see it for yourself. KMOX.com/events, KMOX.com/events. Mentioned the Phil Maton signing. We didn't have a Sports Open Line last night. We had a countdown to opening day show. So I haven't really gotten the chance to give my thoughts on that signing. I'll share that with you coming up after the 7 o'clock news. And then Kevin Wheeler is going to join us after that. Don't go anywhere. It's a Friday night edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Into hour number two of the program. Coming up in just a few minutes, our own Kevin Wheeler is going to be joining us as we have our weekly Friday baseball conversation. We need a better term for that. But you know what? It's going to be going away here in a week or so because we're going to have Cardinals baseball on most Friday nights. But we'll still get Wheels on here every once in a while for sure. So yesterday, the Cardinals announced the acquisition of Phil Maton. And there's been some reaction to it about the fact that if you're going into a year where you're talking so much about young players getting opportunities, and then you bring in a veteran player, and that's going to result in a younger player ending up back at AAA. And I think the guy that I think likely is without a job who would have been with a job if Maton wouldn't have been signed is Chris Roycroft. I think he's probably going to end up at AAA now, where before that he was probably the last guy in the bullpen. And I'm a big Chris Roycroft guy. I think he profiles out as somebody who can be a pretty darn good relief pitcher in the big leagues. So it's really easy to get like caught in the moment and be overly concerned about the young guys not getting the opportunities. I'll say this, and we'll talk more about this with Kevin Wheeler coming up in just a few minutes. This team is as much depth as this pitching team has from a pitching standpoint. They are going to run out of pitching at some point because every team runs out of pitching at some point in time. That's just simply what's going to happen. So, yes, might a Chris Roycroft or a Kyle Leahy Gordon Graceffo has already been sent to the minor leagues, as has Tekoa Roby. Is one of those guys, their spot on the opening day roster, not going to be there now? Yes, it's obvious. There's a guy, so he pushed everybody else back. But in the grand scheme of things, after Cardinals are done playing 162 games this year, we're going to look back and we're going to say everybody got their opportunity. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be other things that happen. Everybody is going to get their opportunity. Much more on the Phil Maton signing, the Cardinals' offensive struggles. We'll get into a few things. Kevin Wheeler, former host of this very program, now part of the Dave Glover Show. He wasn't on the DGS today, but he will be on Sports Open Line. That's coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we continue on into our final hour of the week's worth of shows. Coming up next week, it is the final week before Cardinals baseball starts for real. We are so excited about the beginning of the season, and we'll see what things end up looking like. Speaking of that, let's do our Friday conversation. Our guy Kevin Wheeler, of course, you hear him as part of the Dave Glover Show. He pops on here at Sports Open Line every Friday, also part of the Gas House Gang. We do a lot of stuff. Kevin, always good to talk to you. How are you?
I just never stop talking, buddy. It's just like nonstop.
There you go. That's all right. We'll take it.
Hey, it's literally what I get paid to do, man.
Yeah, And that's and you're good at it. Yesterday we got so I had to kind of laugh because the MLBPA folks were in Jupiter on Wednesday, and man, they were giving it to the Cardinals about not having a single dollar spent on a major league contract unless the and look, there's no correlation between the two. It's just funny that the two things were butted up against each other on Thursday. Yesterday, the Cardinals finally make a move, and they bring in a guy who does clearly make the team better and make the bullpen better in Phil Maton.
Yeah, two parts to this. I mean, I want to address the MLBPA thing first. Just shut up. If you're going to give a hard time to a team that never spends, great. Yeah. Go bother the A's and the Marlins and all those teams that never spend, or the Pirates for that matter. Don't bother the teams that are typically in the top 10 to 15 teams in baseball and in payroll because one year they want to change things up. I mean, it's like, okay, I mean, what's your point? Is your point that nobody can ever change gears at any point? Like, sometimes you're going to do things differently. I mean, like, one opportunity, you know, the opportunity that's not there for whatever $10 million starter they didn't sign can be a guy who establishes himself as a major leaguer and becomes a $50 million guy down the road. Sure. So that's, to me, where the union needs to get real, man. I'm on the union side most issues, but this is where they're just dumb. Just don't be stupid. And it's not about the Cardinals. Don't be bothering the teams that are generally spend. Bother the teams that never spend. You know, if you want to make an issue out of it, but as for Maton, I don't see a risk. I don't see a loss. Even if he stinks, you just cut him and move on. It's not that much money. It's not a long term commitment. He's 32, so he's not old, and he's got a track record of being a really good, solid, consistent reliever. And you know, Matt, he used to be a guy that struggled badly against left handed hitters. Had a big split, but last year that went away. Last year, he was about the same against righties and lefties, and he was above average against both. So this is a guy that doesn't throw hard. You know, you'll see him. He doesn't throw the four-seamer anymore. He used to throw that, I think, like 91, 92. But, I mean, his primary fastball is a cutter, and then he throws a bunch of curveball, sweeper, slider, sinker. He does throw the sinker. That's another version of a fastball, but he almost never throws it. But you're going to see him in the upper 80s, man. He's going to be 88, 89 with that cutter. He's going to be, you know, 74, 75 with the curveball. And that's why his stuff plays. That's why his cutter plays, because the curveball is his best pitch and it's so slow. It's a little bit like Waino's. It's a little bit in that way, right? Where it's such a difference maker and it looks so different and it's so much slower that it makes other pitches feel like they have more jump than they do. So I just don't see a downside to it. He's not a rock star. He doesn't make you a contender by himself. He's just a good pitcher.
Cardinals put a ton of value in having a veteran reliever in the bullpen who's not the closer. And because they that was part of the Andrew Kittredge role last year. I think some of us kind of roll our eyes at that, but that is something that they value. So they went out and they got a pretty good guy to fill that role. And yeah, he's going to be able to pitch high leverage spots in the final three innings. He's going to be able to help. And look, we can roll our eyes at that, but Wheels, how often do we hear guys who were on the team when like Russ Springer was around and how much he impacted them? So I think there's some value to that.
I'm not saying there's no value, because I mean, one of my favorite stories is about Adam Wainwright moving into the closer role late in 2006 and Jason Isringhausen being the guy that helps him with it and walks him through it. I'm not saying there's no impact, but I would love to see like a 20-year rundown of your bullpen and how it performs based on who the veterans are and what roles they have. It's one thing if the veteran is like, look, Russ Springer was fun, man. He is a funny dude. He was a lot of energy. And in that way, he's good for the team and all that. I have a harder time buying that younger guys are going to pitch better because there's a veteran there. And again, I like veterans in the pen because I think it's important to have known commodities. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, like the bullpen is volatile. it can go up and down. So anywhere you can gain stability, I like it. I just feel like that's a thing that this particular team tends to overstate. It's not that it doesn't matter. I don't think that. I think, of course, it matters. I just feel like they overdo how much that part means, because there are teams all over the league year in and year out that don't have that. And they're fine. Their bullpens are fine. Give me stuff over that. Give me guys that blow 100 and miss bats over giving me a guy who's, just because he's been around, is going to be, a positive influence on a guy. But again, I think it exists. I just don't know. Like, just as I think outfield defense matters, I don't think it matters as much as people in the game seem to think it does.
There is value, though, in these older guys knowing how to stay available. And that's one about Maton, that he knows his body and he knows what he needs to do to be available to pitch day after day after day after day. One of his greatest strengths has been his overwhelming ability to stay on the field. And I think when you're talking about young guys, especially, you know, a lot of relief pitchers have basically been starters in the minor leagues. That's it. That's where you put your best pitchers, in the minor leagues. It takes a little while for these guys to really understand what you need to do to stay healthy and be available.
Yeah, I mean, look at Maton's track record. This is one of the things that's a great asset about him. So he basically established himself as a big leaguer, a consistent big leaguer, after COVID, right? 2021 was kind of the beginning of him getting to be a full-time major league reliever. He did it during COVID too, but you know, it wasn't a full season. So here's what he's done in those seasons since then: 65 games, 67 games, 68 games, 71 games. He definitely goes out there and he pitches. And maybe some of that has to do with the fact that he's not a big max effort guy.
Sure.
You know, Mo referenced that yesterday a little bit, that, you know, he's not out there trying to grunt every pitch out. So that may also play into that durability.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, look, if you go max effort, there's a higher percentage chance of you injuring yourself, and it's harder to recover. So those two things mean you can't pitch as often. So it's
100%.
Now, there was a little bit of a discussion about this when Mo talked to the media. Guys like his profile, these veteran relievers who make themselves available, there's still a bunch of guys like that on the market. For some reason, baseball has shifted in a way where these guys just aren't getting signed. And he was very open, saying, you know, he had some non-roster opportunities in baseball and things like that, but there just wasn't much interest until this. And generally, when you hear about guys having not much interest, you go, well, what's the problem? I think in this situation, not much interest is more a reflection on the business place of baseball.
Yeah, it's such an interesting place that we're in, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's probably not good.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that's not good about the way people view, I don't know, just the way people's views. I'm not a guy that wants everything to stay the way that it used to be, because I think it's impossible, right? One thing that doesn't happen in this world is the world never goes backward.
Right.
It never goes back in time. It always moves forward, because the more we learn, the more we add to what we used to know. But sometimes at first, you're still thinking, not so sure about that one right now.
Yeah, and you feel bad for a guy like Maton, who's done nothing but his job over the years and can't find a job until late.
Yeah, it was weird, though, because, you know, the 40 games he was in Tampa last year, he was pretty awful. And I wonder how much that worried people. He finished strong with the Mets, though. Like, with the Mets, he made 30 appearances, had a 2.51 ERA. The fielding independent was 2.57. So later in the year, he got back to being Phil Maton. But I don't know. You know how this is, man. I mean, like, it's what you outlined. Teams will not spend on anything until they have to, right? Where a guy like Maton 10 years ago has a job in December.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably got a 2 or 3 year deal given his age and his consistency. And now more teams are like, I got a 25-year-old who's kind of maybe a tweener. And he struggles as a starter. We're just going to give him the job and see what happens, because he throws 96.
I would say this: if I'm a baseball president of operations, or general, you know, final baseball decision maker, whether they have the Pobo title or the GM title in their respective markets, outside of a closer, I'm never giving a relief pitcher a multi-year deal. There's these guys fall off too quickly.
Never?
No.
Brian Abreu with the Astros?
No. If you're not my closer, I'm not giving you a multi-year deal.
I would. Yeah. Okay. But it's got to be certain guys, right? It's got to be people in a certain age range who I know are shut down people, right? So guys that when you put them in there, it's over. They're done. And basically what they are is they're secondary closers. Those are guys that, if your closer goes down, you shift this guy to that role and it's fine.
Like, guys are always available on the market every single year.
Not those guys. Not those guys. Like, again, I use Abreu as an example because he's not a closer, but he's mid-20s. He throws 98 miles an hour. He strikes people out. And if you made him the closer, he'd be a good closer. I would give that guy a multi-year contract if he's out there as a free agent at 28. Now, if he's out there at 32, I worry more about breakdowns and injuries and things along those lines. So it's a sliding scale. So I would say my answer, or my way of putting it would be generally I would agree with you, but I would never say never.
We're talking with Kevin Wheeler, our weekly baseball conversation, looking back at the week it was. We're now under 2 weeks from opening day. It's 2 weeks from yesterday.
Man.
It's coming up really quick. And the roster, I feel like the roster is coming together. You know, when they sign Maton, since then, Graceffo and Roby each end up being reassigned to the minor leagues. It seems like Leahy has an inside track for a job. There's still some competition with guys like Roycroft and Munoz. And, you know, it's still there's going to be some type of injury, probably, maybe, between now and the start of the season. Pitching injuries are so common during spring, and we're seeing that happen to other teams across baseball. It feels like guys like Lucan Baker and Jose Barrero have really solidified the inside track that they have on a couple of those bench jobs. So there's not a lot. It just, this is one of those years where I feel like the intrigue on roster spots, it's going to take somebody either just giving a job away or somebody having a ridiculous 2 weeks for much to change.
Yeah, and really, it seems like, you know, so yesterday on the Gas House Gang, you and I and Bernie broke down what the bullpen looks like after Maton, and it feels like there's just two jobs that are up for grabs. You know, you've got Maton, Helsley, Fernandez, Romero, and King. They're all there, barring injury. Either Libertor or Mats, right? I mean, I know that Mo last Sunday told me they were very excited about Libertor as a starter, but then after they signed Maton, he kind of mentioned that it was leaning more bullpen. But either way, one of those two guys is going to be in the rotation. One's going to be in the bullpen. That leaves two spots, and that's O'Brien, because now that they've already sent Graceffo and Tekoa Roby down, we know it's not them. So it basically leaves O'Brien, Leahy, Roycroft, and Munoz and Anderson. But he hasn't looked very good, so no. I'm not sure he's winning a
his
job.
His last time
right
out
now
was his best outing, so
yeah.
You'd rather his most recent outing and not his first outing be his best one. But to your point,
but let's say he has three excellent outings leading up to opening. He might still make the team. I mean, he could be a guy that earns that last spot, and you let the others go to the minors and keep working. But I think you agree with me, right? Like, I think that Riley O'Brien's on this team if he doesn't get hurt. I think they're super intrigued by what he brings to the table. He's 30, so you gotta have to find out now, right? There's no long term for O'Brien. If he's gonna help you, he's gotta help you now.
And if he's not gonna help you, like because the Cardinals are not the first team, Kevin, that he has not been able to gain traction with.
No,
like,
Seattle is the other, yeah.
Right. So if that's just who he is, well then figure that out and move on.
Yeah. So, I mean, and he's thrown well, too, right? So sure. A guy that's throwing well, who they talked a lot about positively last year, and a guy who throws upper 90s, they don't have many of those. I mean, Ryan Helsley does it. Fernandez is close, but not quite. Romero is close, but not quite. I mean, you know, another guy that throws 100 in the bullpen would be nice, especially with the other guys all having the freedom to go down. So barring Nick Anderson kind of making a push at the end to really solidify a spot, it feels like it's Leahy versus Roycroft, and I would say, based on our conversation yesterday, you seem to agree that Leahy would make more sense than Roycroft simply because he's more able to go multiple innings. And both of them are limited against left-handed hitting. So we kind of have a good idea now about the pitching staff with the Maton signing. I think we're pretty good on most of the lineup. I mean, the only question, Matt, wouldn't you say, is who plays center and how does that impact what the bench looks like, right? Because if Ciani is in center, or if Nootbaar's in center, well, Scott's in AAA, and then because he's not going to be a bench guy, and it all sorts out, right? So let's say they decide that Scott's not ready, and they're going to use Ciani or Nootbaar, but let's say we start off with Nootbaar in center. So Ciani would be on the bench. Baker looks like he's going to be there. Obviously, one of the other two catchers, so between Herrera and Pajes, whoever's not catching will be on the bench. So that's three. And it sounds like Barrero would be the guy for the other spot now, because Mo has said this consistently, and he said it to me again last Sunday. They don't want young guys that are still developing as prospects to sit, and that tells me JC is going to be at Memphis.
Yep.
Barring an injury that's going to open up playing time, right?
Right.
So I think it's pretty clear that if Scott doesn't make the team, that's the bench. But what if Scott does? If Scott makes the team, that basically, for the days that he starts in center, that pushes either Burleson or Gorman to the bench. So one of them would be, again, barring days off for other people, but like opening day, it probably puts Burleson on the bench.
I would agree. Yeah.
And that would mean you have Burleson, Baker, Barrero, and whoever's not catching. So I think we're really close to knowing what the roster is going to be.
Yeah, look, there's an extra spot on the roster if Scott doesn't win the center field job, because presumably Scott's going to be at AAA. So, but if Scott does make the roster, then Siani's on the roster as your fourth outfielder.
I don't know. Is he how? Who else? Who goes? I mean, because you have to have Barrero or Hellman or Fermin. You got to have an infielder. And I would say right now they seem to be leaning towards Barrero because of his athleticism and his positional flexibility and his speed, right? He's a really talented guy. You got to have a catcher, and if you're going to have Baker, which it sounds like he's in a spot, right? I mean, it's not a lock. Nobody has announced it, but you listen to them talk and you look at what he's doing. He sure seems like a guy that they're planning on having, and you have one spot. So if Scott makes the team, that's either Gorman or Burleson.
Yeah.
So if Scott wins the center field job, Siani's got to be in Memphis.
You're like everything you're saying is correct. We've watched this team do what they've done, and gosh, they love Michael Siani.
I know. I mean, the only alternative there would be sending Baker down, and I think that would be a massive mistake.
Yeah,
because,
I do too.
Because if Victor Scott is here, Siani is useless. And I'm not saying that because I'm rocking the player. I'm saying if Victor Scott's your center fielder, you do not need a defensive replacement for that guy. If he's good enough to be your starter, you don't need a defensive replacement for that guy. And if Siani's greatest value is defense, he doesn't help you as a bench player on this team.
I've watched enough Cardinals baseball to know that if Michael Siani is on the team and Victor Scott II is on the team, we are going to see Jordan Walker out of the game late because they're going to go to a defensive replacement. Like they want to stress defense in close and late situations.
That's fine, but again, are you sending Baker out? I mean, like to me, that's a fascinating thing. That's because in the past, that's exactly what they would have done, right? Yeah. Last year, they would have exactly done that. They would have kept Siani and sent Baker down without question because of the defensive versatility. But my question is, how many games is a defensive replacement actually going to win for you versus how many games can that weapon on the bench win for you to come in and get a pinch hit against a left-handed pitcher, start against the left-handed starter? I mean, to me, defensive replacements are great, but I'll put Barrero in right field if I'm worried about that. I'll find a way to put Nootbaar there and slide Donovan to the outfield before I'm that stressed out about doing that. Now, again, you're right, though. What they've done is exactly what you're describing. That's exactly the choice they've made in these last couple of years. And what I'm saying is if they do that, they're blowing their chance to maximize offensive output for this team. They're blowing
because Baker checks a box. He checks the box as a thumper off the bench who can give you a really good at bat late in the game in a big situation. And they haven't had
that. Or against the lefty starter, he'd give you two or three of them.
Yeah. So I think, we've talked a lot about bench construction. It's not about getting the best players. It's about like checking boxes of qualities that you want on your roster.
Yeah.
And that's what they need to do. And that's where I think that's going to be really interesting once this final roster is put together to be able to really break that down and see what.
Yeah, I mean, but it seems like these are the only decisions.
Yeah, they are.
Right? I mean, it really comes down to on the offensive side, what are they doing with center field? If Scott's going to win the job, then they have that discussion to have. If Scott's not going to win the job, then all they're going to have to sort out is how much Newt's going to play in center versus how much Siani's going to play in center. And the bench slots in very easily in that case.
Yeah, and the other battle that's going on that we haven't mentioned is the final spot in the rotation, which if you believe the reporting out there, and there's no reason not to believe the things that folks like Katie Wu are writing, it's going to come down to Andre Pallante and Michael McGreevy. If that's the case, I say Michael McGreevy is likely to start the season at Memphis.
Can I just say, this is nothing against Katie because I agree with you. Katie's reporting she's reporting things that she's learning. She's not making stuff up. Katie's really good. If they're not going to put Pallante in the rotation, I don't know what to tell you. What does that – he's 25 years old. He was your best starting pitcher in the second half last year. He's made 30 starts as a major league player with a 3.60 ERA, 30 starts and a 3.60 ERA as a major league starter. His other numbers are all bullpen numbers. As a starter, 30 starts with a 3.60, I think it's 3.66 ERA. Why would he not make the rotation?
Okay, so
there's no argument for it. I mean, I know there's a team one. The argument should be if you want that, then Matz goes to the pen.
Let
there's
me play
no
devil's
argument ad- where Pallante is not a starter in me in my world. I don't get it.
It's a
step backwards for the organization if they do that.
I agree with everything you just said, but I'm gonna play devil's advocate for just a second before we get you out of here. Pallante's velo is down a tick or two. If they are legitimately concerned about that and they want to get that back up because they feel like his effectiveness is not going to be there if he can't get his velo back to where it was last year, that would be the only answer that I can at least see making a little bit of sense. Now, I wouldn't agree with it. I'd put him in there, sink or swim.
Then he should be on the injured list.
Okay.
I mean, if they're worried about a physical reason for anything, then he should be on the injured list. Let me rephrase what I'm saying. Barring injured list type stuff, there's no argument. I love McGreevy. I want to see him get a chance. But, like, there's no argument that either Matz or Michaelis should be in this rotation over Pallante. None.
I think there's arguments. I think they're arguments.
No, they're money. They're money. Yeah. It's money. It's not. I'm talking performance because he was better than both of them by a lot last year. Not even close. His ERA was 2 runs lower than Michaelis.
Sure.
And it's not like it's a small sample size when we're talking about 30 major league starts.
And for Michaelis, it's the last 2 years.
Yes, it's 2 years in a row.
So yeah.
I don't think it's going to go that way. I think they'll take the easy route, which is McGreevy at Memphis. Because it is the easy route, and you'll need him. Because I mean, what'll it be? 4 weeks before Matz is hurt. I mean, we're talking about this. Is the funny thing is we are you and I and Bernie and Tom, all four of us. We've been talking about all these things on Gas House Gang, and it's hard for me to always remind myself because I fall into this trap that opening day isn't September, right? Like
right.
A lot can happen between those two dates. So not having what we would look at as the ideal for opening day doesn't mean we won't have it in June or May or July, whatever. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. So I totally understand that. And I do have to remind myself of that, Matt. I mean, you know, I mean, there are times I'm sitting here raving and then I'm like, yeah, but it could be that way after 3 weeks anyway, depending on, you know, how things go. So I would just be I'm just shocked at the idea that anybody with the team is thinking about Pallante losing a rotation spot.
I just wonder if they're worried about the velo thing.
Again, then go get him checked out.
Yeah.
If you're worried, right. let's go for testing and see if something's going on.
Right.
Because that would be, yes, that's a valid concern. Like injuries or really severely diminished stuff.
That's Kevin Wheeler. Wheels, always good to talk to you. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you sometime next week. All right.
All right.
That's Kevin Wheeler joining us, talking all things baseball for our Friday conversation. We'll take a break, come back, hear a little bit from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. That's next. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it on the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Just a little while left in the program. We are taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. The Gas House Gang from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock as we will have that for you. And then Rachel Zimmerman Show will be coming your way at 9 o'clock. And Rachel's actually going to join us in our next segment. Also, we're continuing to keep an eye on everything going on from a weather standpoint. So if anything breaks, we will certainly let you know about that. Want to do our daily fun with audio. As we hear from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, not a lot talked about today in his pregame media availability. Just a handful of reporters were there. Our own Tom Ackerman being joined by Derek Gould and Katie Wu. Just a couple quick things to get to real quick. First off, looks like Jordan Walker should be back in games very soon, as Marmol did give an update on his health status.
He's feeling really good, getting treatment right now. Our hope is that he's in a game tomorrow. Went through his progression, checked all the boxes, and he felt really good yesterday, gave him the extra day so that he's able to go tomorrow.
Michael McGreevy making the start tonight for the Cardinals in the game against the Mets. And he gave up a home run to Juan Soto in his first inning. And just, you know, speaking generally about McGreevy and what he's done this year, he's really put together a solid spring. That might not be good enough to win him a spot in the rotation. He could very easily end up at AAA to start the year, but he is going to certainly be a factor at the big league level in the rotation this year. So many teams go through so many pitchers every year. So there's still a fair amount of time before even this spring training comes to an end. But even if everybody else, Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty, Andre Pallante, Miles Michaelis, and Steven Matz, even if those guys stay healthy, clear that McGreevy is going to be a factor at some point this year. And Marl talked a little bit about what he has seen from McGreevy so far here in spring.
A lot of what we've seen in the past, him committing to what gives him success, living on the ground, continuing to attack the strike zone, the pitch that he worked on a ton to lefties, continue to drive that as something that he's comfortable with, and his overall poise. I just, the more he's out there, I think the better he's going to get when it comes to the other things that go along with slowing the game down. He does it already at a pretty high level for being his age, and he's only going to continue to get better at it.
That is Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol speaking with the media earlier today as we are getting closer and closer. We are now less than 2 weeks out from the start of the regular season. And the schedule gets a little bit different here moving forward as they're going to spend some time in Memphis before they get to St. Louis. So they are playing this game tonight. They'll have a full week's worth of games coming up next week. And then they are going to play their final game in Florida two Sundays from now on the 23rd. They'll go into Memphis. They'll play a game against the Redbirds on Monday the 24th, and then they get into St. Louis, have a couple days, and they get set for the season opener, which is going to be on the 27th. We will take a break, and when we come back, our good friend Rachel Zimmerman will join us, preview what's coming up tonight on the Rachel Zimmerman Show, and we'll wrap up this edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. That's in just a moment here on KMOX.
Back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We do start to wrap up this Friday edition of the program. And since it is Friday, that means tonight the Rachel Zimmerman Show will be coming your way 9 o'clock. So we'll do Gas House Gang for the next hour from 8 to 9. And then Rachel will take over. But before she officially takes over with the Rachel Zimmerman Show, she joins us right now. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Matt. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you as well. We haven't had one of these little crosstalks in a while. And we're not going to have many moving forward because the Cardinals will take over KMOX at nighttime moving forward.
I know. This is a precious moment.
Yes. So for those out there who are listening, who are very big-time avid fans of the Rachel Zimmerman Show and tune in every single Friday night at 9 o'clock, moving forward when there's Cardinals baseball here, how can they go find your show?
They can find me anywhere you get your podcasts or on the Odyssey app. Just search for the Rachel Zimmerman Show. And a lot of times they play us on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 5 p.m. too. So if there's not a Cardinals game going on at that time, you can catch the show on KMOX still, which is nice.
Yeah. What do you have coming up on the program tonight?
So tonight is actually a replay. It's 314 day, so I wanted to do something very St. Louis, and I'm replaying my episode I did with St. Louis Magazine food and dining editor George Mahey. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of compliments on this episode because people love George, and we really just kind of delve into his backstory and learn how he got to the position he's in today. So it's a really good one. I'm excited for people to hear it if they haven't heard it already.
George was on with you guys today because what's the Golden Cod? Is that the award?
The Golden Cod is the trophy you get if you win the Catholic Fish Schmackdown on the DGS. So every Friday during Lent, we have a different parish come in and bring their fish fry wares, and it's really, really fun.
I had a big lunch before I came in today, and I was so bummed because I was so full, I can't eat anything, and I'm listening as I'm driving in, And I go, there's going to be fish, and it's going to be really, and I hear them talking about this amazing fish.
Yeah.
And then I get here, and I'm just, I literally cannot eat. I'm so full.
I know. I just polished off a couple of the shrimps myself from Holy Trinity in Fairview Heights. They have an amazing fish fry, so it's pretty awesome today.
How long do you guys do that for?
Every Friday during Lent, so we'll go till Good Friday.
Okay. Very, very good. I always connect you to Kara Spencer, because the first time I really heard Kara Spencer talk for a long, long time was when she was on with you.
That was the first episode of my show.
So that was over a year ago, right?
Oh, yeah. That was 2023. We've been doing this three calendar years now, which is crazy.
So obviously she did pretty well in the in the election. And now she'll go up against Tashara. They had the debate that we aired on KMOX last night, the Channel 2 did. And it's just, I got to tell you, like, I know I've brought her up a few times with you, but literally every time I hear her talk, I have such a positive feeling about her. So much, so largely built upon my conversation I heard you have. So more than anything else, it just shows kind of like the power of radio and the power you have and things like that, because you were able to create like this long lasting memory. Thanks to, you know, obviously Kara had something to do with that as well.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, she's amazing. So that makes sense. But I really appreciate you saying that, Matt. That makes me feel really good. And she was an awesome first guest. I'm very proud of that.
Well, so Rachel Zimmerman Show tonight, it is going to be from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Find it on all the podcast platforms. Listen all week long to KMOX. You might hear it again. Rachel, always good to see you.
Good to see you, Matt.
That is Rachel Zimmerman. Again, listen to her show coming up this evening at 9 o'clock every Friday night, various other times across the weekend. And of course, you can always listen to the podcasted version wherever you get your various podcasts. And of course, she's part of the Dave Glover Show as well. That is going to do it for this edition of Sports Open Line, Gas House Gang. Today is Tom Ackerman from Florida and Bernie Miklas. So be tuned in for that for the next hour, leading into the Rachel Zimmerman Show. I'll be with you a little bit next week. I'm also got some time off next week. The calm before the storm that is right before the baseball season gets started. So you'll hear some other voices during Sports Open Line next week in addition to mine. But have a wonderful weekend, and we will talk to you at some point next week right here on KMOX.